This was recorded at the 16th Chinwag Live event, Measuring Social Media, at Internet World in London on April 30th, 2008. Featuring on the panel, Alex Boumeister of Nielsen Online, Robin Grant of 1000 Heads, Will McInnes of Nixon McInnes, Ankur Shah of Techlightenment, and Danielle West of Nedstat, with Rachel Clark of Behind the Buzz chairing. The event was produced by Chinwag editor Deirdre Malloy. It was sponsored by Huddle and Nedstat.
Today we're going to talk about measuring social media. Social media, read-write web, whatever you want to call it, basically means people on the web. Not companies, not sort of corporations, but everyday people doing what they're doing, whether it's text, video, images, or whatever else. And one of the things that is there is that brands are present, whether or not the brands want to be there. They're being talked about. Brands can also go and play deliberately. And one of the challenges from a brand's perspective is, how do you measure the success of being out there, and how do you actually work out return on investment, what you should be doing, what you shouldn't be doing? So the panel today, I'm going to ask them one question and then open it up to questions from you guys. So the question for all of the panel is, in each of your companies and each of your experience, how do you measure the success of social media, and what metrics do you use? And can you introduce yourself as you go along, starting from Ankur?
Yeah. Hi, my name's Ankur Shah. I'm a director at a company called Techlightenment. That's a professional services company that allows brands to basically express themselves on social media. We do campaigns, and one large part of our work is really in allowing companies to understand what they should target in social media, who they should target, and ultimately, apart from actually developing the campaigns, understanding whether they've succeeded and whether they've met those goals that they initially tried to do at the outset. So I think where we differ, and I think previously speaking about social media, we've suffered because we haven't really defined what we mean by social media. I think one thing we focus on, it's a new type of media that allows people to communicate, so it's far more reflective of the offline world. You're now engaging in a different type of environment, which allows people to communicate much more readily, share things much more readily. So in that environment, how do brands measure social media, and how do we do it? Well, we've developed a number of tools that effectively allow you to understand how ideas spread, how concepts spread, how people spread. And by measuring the way those things spread, you're able to identify whether you've been successful or not. So to give you examples, we did a campaign for Samsung, and using something like a Facebook application, we were able to measure who had sent the application, how people were sending applications on, how they're sharing applications. So you're able to identify people who are influential, people who support your brand. So I think the key really to measuring social media is basically not just understanding raw hard stats, but actually understanding behavior. And I think that's what we're trying to move towards, is understanding behavior and whether that's ultimately positive for your brand.
Hello, I'm Will McInnes. I'm the MD of a social media agency called Nixon McInnes. There are 17 of us based in Brighton, and we help organisations like O2, Cisco, More Than, Oxfam take advantage of this new world. For me, I think the panel's interesting because it reflects the breadth of the topic. So there are kind of two, on the spectrum, you've got kind of incense burning, serendipity, hippie loving, you can't measure social media, get your measurement talk out of my nice, comfortable world. And then at the other end, you've got the kind of Excel spreadsheet, number crunching, bean counting, I want to know whether this works or not camp. And I'm kind of in the middle. There are people who will tell you, and we have some representatives here today, that their computers can tell you what people think and feel. And I just believe that that's complete crap, and that the nuances and subtleties of how we communicate and interrelate with one another online are so much more subtle than what a computer can tell you. But I also believe profoundly that we need to measure this stuff. So I think it's great that we're all here. I've started a thing that you're all invited to called Measurement Camp, which seeks to bring together people from the industry and people from client side to try and work this out. But my fundamental answer to Rachel's question about how do you measure social media is that it's inherently measurable, in my view, and what you measure is contextual, so it depends on what you're trying to achieve, just like any other marketing activity. But that'll do for now, I think.
Hello, my name is Danielle West. I'm the managing consultant at Nedstat. I swear I'm not going to try and sell you anything today. the two things that I had thought about on the question about how we're measuring social media, the first thing is anything and everything that we're measuring currently really should be audited by an independent third party like ABC or, you know, something like ABC. I think just so that we have a real honest and open idea of what everybody's counting. But as far as counting and measuring for social media, one thing that we do as a consultancy team at NEDSTAT, and we have clients that run the gamut across from B&Q to a couple of very large-scale popular broadcasters such as Five TV, as well as some publishing companies like NatMags, and also some other multimedia companies like GCAP. We tend to have a different approach with everybody, and I think there is no set way to measure. I think the first thing you have to look at whenever you have your website built or what you're doing online is you have to first ask yourself, what is the purpose or main objective of this site and what it's going to offer? And I think once you're able to answer that in a confident way, you're then able to build up a set of core KPIs. And once you've looked at those core KPIs, you're going to have to start measuring those against what everyone else is doing in the industry. And then once you started looking at that, you're going to start looking at the KPIs against each department that's working with this website. So as you can see, just by saying that out loud, I mean, I've put up a whole set of different metrics that everybody's going to be working towards. So I think it's more a matter of, I mean, everything that's going on the internet can be captured bar, as Will said, you know, subtle nuances with maybe how people are communicating. But even then, you've got an idea of the activity, and then when you start to dig a bit deeper at granular level, you can start to gain learnings and then start improving the service and the overall user experience.
Hi guys, I'm Robin Grant. I'm Client Services Director of a company called 1000 Heads. We're an online word of mouth marketing agency, I suppose is the best way of describing it. So we help our clients listen to and understand and engage in conversations in social media. We've got clients like Nokia, Tesco, Three, Sky, Barclaycard, etc. I think I'd like to sort of take a step back, really, and just think about, you know, what different things we can measure, what we're actually trying to measure, what actually is this discussion about, because we've seen some different perspectives here, like Anchor talking about measuring the success of Facebook apps, which is you know, is totally a valid thing to try and do. From here, talking about how you would measure, if you had a social media property of your own, how you'd measure the success of that. We're coming at it again from a completely different perspective of three different things, really. One thing we do for our clients is listen to those conversations in social media. So how do you measure that? You know, there is all of that conversation going on there about your brand or about your product, about your service. What meaning does that have for you as a company? So we monitor those conversations, and we do that partially through technology, but also, most importantly, with having human analysts reading every single one of those conversations and rating them for sentiment and actually understanding what's going on in those conversations. So we can measure the number of conversations, the number of people contributing to each of those conversations, the estimated reach of those conversations, the overall sentiment, and we can slice and dice that and graph that any way our clients find useful. That really, though, only tells you a certain amount. If we're then looking at outbound campaigns in social media where you've tried to generate some positive conversation out there in the wild, and remember, you don't have access to these blogs or these forums, log files, to be able to tell what's going on. How do you measure that? Well, you could look at, you know, different levels of interaction. So, again, the estimated reach, the number of people that read those conversations, the number of people sharing those conversations through, you know, using services like Dig or StumbleUpon or various other social bookmarking sites, actually who's out there sharing those conversations and bringing them to other people's attentions. How many people are actually contributing to those conversations? I mean, how the actual number of participants and what they're doing, whether they're rating or voting it or actually leaving comments themselves. And then also, probably most importantly, the number of people initiating conversations. All of that has meaning, but again, there's no real way so far of linking that back to a company's bottom line, which comes down to the sort of third area I think is up for discussion, which is, you know, what is the ROI from performing, doing campaigns within social media, whatever form that takes, whether that's Facebook apps or whether that's, you know, outreach campaigns, bloggers, etc., etc., etc. And there's, you know, there's academic studies that sort of show a link between online conversation and sales, and there's the whole thing about the Net Promoter Score, but it's very hard to link that back because it's such early days for all of us in our disparate aspects of the industry. To, you know, I think we just need to build up a portfolio of case studies over time, in the same way that online advertising did.
Hi, I'm Alex Burmaster. I'm the internet analyst at Nielsen Online. Through our Buzzmetrics service, we're basically helping companies and brands simply understand what's being said about their brand or a particular issue in the millions of conversations happening out there on the web. We use basically a mixture of automated technology and human insight. In terms of measuring success in social media, it's not wishing to play the politician card and not answer the question. It's very, very difficult because we run an awful lot of campaigns and so on and research projects for our clients, and no two are really the same. It's, you know, is success generating, you know, more positive buzz about your brand? Is it increasing sales? Is it generating positive brand empathy? Is it generating visits to your website? It really depends on what it is you're actually looking to achieve. And I think the clients that we've done work for, where it's been most easy to measure success, is when they've been very, very specific about what it is that they want to achieve by any social media marketing or advertising campaign. A lot of people might tend to be slightly vague about what it is they want to do. Okay, well, we're going to try this activity, but, you know, we'll see how it goes. I think it's the amount of success that you can measure is directly correlated to how specific you are about what you want to achieve. And I think, I mean, speaking to someone yesterday, someone said to me that, you know, success in social media is undergoing a marketing or advertising campaign where you don't shoot yourself in the foot. So, I mean, it's very difficult to give a single answer, but it's really related to how specific you are about what you want to achieve.
Alex was talking about how it's very difficult to be specific about some measures, but I'm going to challenge you all now to come up with something you've measured in the past to give some examples. Will looked at three different areas he sort of covers in general. But can you talk about things that you've actually measured in the past and whether or not you think they were a measure of success?
Do you want to jump in?
I can. Jump,
why don't you jump in?
Oh, okay. No, I thought of something right away. One project we were working over the holiday season was for a major broadcaster who developed a media player. And one thing that we were able to measure on this media player using our StreamSense technology was every single activity from the mouse hovering while somebody was consuming the media to just watching the opening snippet to fast-forwarding to pausing to creating a playlist to what they were doing, how often they were logging in. So we were basically able to gain access into the whole user experience for how people were consuming streaming media online through a website. And I think that's one thing there that it's interesting, you know, to see, you know, are people just downloading this thing, watching it while they're at the office? Are they then selecting to download it onto a portable player, which was also an option feature here? You know, is this timing out? What else are they doing while they're doing it? Are they just scrolling their mouse? Are they just every once in a while poking it to see if it's active? Are they fast-forwarding through different bits? We were also, in other studies, we've also done it with an automotive client and with another media client where we were able to put ads in different parts of the media so that we could see within 10 seconds, you still had a fantastic readership. I think it was 10% drop-off, 15%, there was a 30% drop-off, and then after 20 seconds, there was a 90% drop-off. So there are different things like that we're able to look at so that if you're, you know, deciding to court advertisers for streaming media campaigns, you know, it's best to start looking at how long do we want to have this media, how much money are we going to be putting into creating this media, and also where are we going to put our advertisements or our logos or our branding in this media. So another thing that we're able to measure when you're using the integrated measurement system, you can basically measure streaming media as well as the traffic on the site. So you're basically using all the same metrics and counting methodology so that you have a complete and thorough analysis of what users are doing before they've consumed the media, while they're consuming the media, and then where they're going thereafter.
How many?
Is that on? Oh, that sounds like such a cliche.
Hello. How many people here would like to get a basic understanding of how to start measuring social media? Quick show of hands. And Okay, and how many people already feel they have a moderately good understanding but are looking for a more advanced kind of ideas and inspiration? Okay, so for the basics, Google Alerts, set up some Google Alerts around your brand name terms, your key spokespeople, your products. That will start to give you a daily free email to your inbox that tells you where people are talking about you online. So that's one thing you can do. Delicious. How many people here know about Delicious or use Delicious? So Delicious, put in, there's a history URL function on Delicious. You can put in your web address and Delicious will tell you who bookmarked it and how many people have bookmarked it. So you can start to drill into that and find out and follow that little kind of cookie trail and find out who they are. I actually won a 21 grand job about 3 weeks ago by finding someone who'd bookmarked our agency website, found their blog, sent an email, hooked up for coffee and followed it like that. So anyone who's kind of wants to know, can you monetize social media? I think that kind of proves it. This is a start. Look at your analytics package. Look at the referrals that you get from online social networks. You know, some of it's very fundamental and simple and easy to do. That's me.
Will's DIY tips are quite good, and you've got the opportunity, however, to go beyond that, and that's what social media really offers you. And one thing really to take the discussion further is to understand that while you can examine what's actually going on websites, who's talked about you, sort of how do you take it to the next step? Because even once you start getting into the advanced territory of seeing the demographic breakdown of what people are using, and now Facebook allows you the option even to see what's been written in wall posts across the whole of the Facebook network, I think the crucial thing, and what we're finding, I mean, for some of our analytics tool allow you to examine viral spread, see the rate of growth. It's all very exciting, but until you actually understand how you're going to respond to those metrics, which I think is a far more interesting potential conversation and maybe beyond the scope of today, but you're measuring social media not for the curiosity value, but really because you want to have some form of response, even potentially automated response. So in the NetStat example, if you're able to find out where people are hovering and where they're clicking, you want to be able to respond automatically and build in the tools so that you don't have to do anything. So on one hand, yes, you have all the old school tactics of using Google Analytics and finding out where your customers are from. But now you can take that conversation further to understanding how people interact and how that affects you. So it's much more like, I mean, we give the example of being in a village bakery. So you actually know when people are coming into your shop. You've known them for years. You know how they behave. And now you can respond accordingly.
Okay, I've got two examples of very measurable things we did for clients. The first one is for Toyota in the US. They identified a problem in the sense of they felt they needed to generate more empathy and a closer relationship with leading sort of car bloggers, if you like, automotive experts. So we helped them identify the most influential bloggers, influencers within the word of mouth sphere, specifically relating to cars and so on. So what we did, we identified, I think there were about 20 or 30. Toyota invited them to a special pre-launch of a new model they were launching in the US. It was 6 months before the launch of the product, so it was a first exclusive look at this product. And they had three key sort of takeouts or three key benefits that they hadn't necessarily thought that they would get. One was obviously the generating excitement around the Toyota brand, particularly this new car. Number two was fostering a closer relationship, generating more positive brand empathy, if you like, with Toyota as a brand. And then three, they actually, based on feedback they got at this particular event about the product itself, two or three of these ideas were actually made it into the final product, the car itself. So these were three very tangible sort of ROIs, if you like, from this small piece of research. Just the second example is slightly more complicated. I don't fully understand how it worked myself, but we did a big project for a financial institution, and they had a team of 13 people who monitored the 6 million consumer feedback emails they get each year. And with a team of 13 people, they could get through about 15% of all these emails. What we did, and this is very technological, I'm going to be completely honest, I don't know how that works, but we have various sort of natural language processing and segmentation tools. This is very technological. And what we did was we were able to split these 6 million emails into, I think it was about 100 different buckets or something like that. And this was sort of all fed through to this team. And now with a team of two people, they can analyze and respond to 100% of those emails.
I won't repeat. I've got several case studies like Alex's first one and Toyota, but I suppose something interesting that no one else has talked about is obviously we're able, because we are reading those conversations, we can really understand what people are saying and therefore the impact that's likely to have on our clients' businesses. So to use Nokia, for example, we can measure purchase intent, we can measure recommendation intent, whether they recommend those products, whether they're intending to switch to a competitor, if they're going to buy an iPhone, for example. And that's all information that gets fed back into their product development cycle and actually helps them develop new products. And it really is really understanding what people are saying.
I have a follow-on from that. Across the panel here, we've discussed both measuring what I would call tactical campaign stuff and longer-term strategic stuff, which has an impact on the organisation that is doing the measuring. Who do you think is accountable for acting on the measurements as they get back into the company? Is it customer service? Is it product development? Is it marketing teams? Where would you send the measurements to?
To the managing
CEO.
Yeah, exactly. You beat me to it.
I think some of the most profound changes and positive benefits that can flow from social media is about taking these insights right up to the top of the food chain and profoundly changing what the organisation offers and who it offers them to and how it offers them. Whenever we talk about social media, the case studies that come up time and time again are either the companies that offer remarkably good things or the companies who listen remarkably hard to the conversations out there and listen hard. And so that's two examples would be Apple, because everyone talks about them, or Dyson and their kind of innovation. And the people who listen hard, bizarrely now, is the poster child of that particular aspect of it, is people like Dell, who've learned the hard way, through social media, that they're going to get caned and slated and slagged off, and now have fantastic mechanisms to allow people to input into their kind of product development. So you're right, it is about customer service and product development. And there's a bit of a kind of meme going around, which is that customer service is the new marketing, and it needs to be that fundamental.
Just an example of that, I've actually been twittering back and forth with the people at Dell about this panel today. They're wondering what we're measuring and whether we're going to mention them. So, any other examples?
Yeah, I just back up what Will said. It's absolutely, it really does. This information needs to go out throughout the organisation. And what we do for a lot of our clients is we produce different reports for different parts of the organisation. So one report that we specially create will go to the customer service manager, and another report we create will go to the different product managers, and another report we create will go to the marketing people. This information is vital to virtually every single aspect of our clients' businesses.
We're finding ourselves speaking more and more to kind of CEOs and MDs rather than CMOs and marketing officers who are progressive and realise that actually this is a people proposition, so that anything that happens out here will fundamentally change the face of your brand and you need to respond accordingly. So it's a much wider proposition because it affects people rather than just purely images. I mean, this is a much more significant kind of strategy at play.
I think I definitely agree with all of that. I think the other thing to bear in mind, though, is how much and what you're sharing with whom as far as the CEO. You're not just going to go to the CEO if somebody's slating a blog or such. I think one of the things that I'd been thinking about running up to this was almost measuring engagement and almost putting something together where you'd almost have a scoring system so that you'd have positive brand engagement and negative brand engagement. Because I think it's important, just at CEO level, to almost provide an overview and then be able to say, there's a lot of really good buzz going on about product X. However, when we released product Y, it got slated here, here, and here. And then have the CEO go, well, that's not so great. Why? And then you're able to drill down. But I think it's being able to provide an overview to the relevant places or the departments. And I think the people that are in charge of that, it seems increasingly a lot of companies are now starting to develop analytical departments, whereas I remember in 2000, I think marketing and, it was either marketing or technology that would do the measurement, depending on how brave or how technically proficient your marketing department was or how big your technical department was, who often could double as online marketing. And I think now what's happening is you're almost getting, an analytical department on its own that's now sharing information with product development, marketing, you'll find PR and communications, customer service, as well as the CEO. And I think it's important
whoever's doing that is able to kind of look at, you know, what information is going to be relevant to whom, and, you know, who's going to be able to act appropriately, you know, in regards to the information that's given.